Thank you for being here. We'll take your Bibles, open up the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read some passages there in just a moment. Some years ago, there was bumper stickers, and you'd see them on trucks mostly, maybe a few cars, that basically said, "He who has the most in the end wins." You know, I believe everyone wants to be content and find fulfillment in life. It's tragic, you know, when we see people who are desperately seeking for contentment and they're not able to find it. One of the great things about being a Christian is that one can find both contentment and fulfillment in simply being a Christian. You know, back in Indianapolis, before Dorothy and I moved up here, we had a fairly nice three-bedroom home with a huge two-car garage in the back. And I thought it was great. You know, we'd be able to put the cars in the garage and keep them out of the weather. But it took, probably 6 months, and the garage was so full, we couldn't get cars in there. What made it even worse is that we decided to go get a storage unit, a 10 by 20 or something to that nature, and we pulled a lot of stuff out of the garage and put in that storage facility, a storage place, to make room in the garage to put the cars back in. Well, you know how well that worked. Before too long, it was full again. I believe each of us, at one point in our lives, have a problem with more. More of this and more of that. Not every garage is so full that you can't get a car in. But like the garage next door at the house Dorothy and I live in, it's just a small single car garage. We can get the car in there, but you got to be careful opening up the driver's door. The passenger door won't open at all. But there's a myth of more. People are not satisfied. When they see something new come out, they just got to have it. You know, case in point, think about a cell phone. New cell phone comes out, what do you got to do? You got to go buy it. Now, granted, a cell phone don't take up much room. But you know how many cell phones I have over in the office? Old cell phones. They're everywhere. I got one laying on top of my desk that's not been turned on in probably 6 months, and I only turn it on every so often just to charge it up, and I use it for an alarm clock once in a while. Do you have that problem? The myth of more? You know, Paul learned to be content in whatever state that he found himself. And we know that to be a fact because of what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." You know, I'm not saying that it's wrong to buy stuff. I'm not saying that it's wrong to, you know, put stuff up in storage. But when it takes over our lives, maybe we have a problem. Some time back, Dorothy and I started watching, I believe it was on the History Channel, about hoarding. And I said, yeah, that looks like our place. Not with trash, but with just stuff. Paul also said in 1 Timothy chapter 8 and verse chapter 6 and verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, hot dogs are food, but I'm not a hot dog fan. Now, if they're on the grill, yeah, I'll eat them. But growing up, I ate so many boiled hot dogs that I really don't like them anymore. But I can't afford to go out and buy T-bone steak. Now, I tell you what, Needlers every once in a while will have buy one, get one free. Well, I'll do that. But that's probably once a year. Raiment. Tailored fit, that's all it says. I don't even know where this, I bought it, but I don't know who made it. We don't have to buy the most expensive. Have you seen a lot of these blue jeans things that a lot of the women, and probably some men, are wearing? It's got holes in them around the knees and the thighs. I'm going to tell you what, I had to wear those back when I was a teenager because that's all I could afford. I couldn't afford to go out and buy, well, my parents couldn't, to go out and buy a brand new pair of blue jeans every time I ripped them. You don't have to have, what do they call them, Gucci bags? Is that a handbag, a purse? Now, there's nothing wrong with buying good quality stuff. Is there? We need to be satisfied, as Paul says. You know, he found he was content in having just enough. Are we content with just enough? So this evening, the intent of this lesson is to show you that peace, fulfillment, and contentment that you long for is really right at your fingertips. And it's not reaching to buy something off of the shelf. Where can contentment be found? Brother Mike read it a little bit earlier. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 56. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. I think I have enough, don't you? I mean, clothes wear out, yes, we have to replace. Furniture wears out, yes, we have to replace. But do we go out and spend and buy just because it's new? It might bring us happiness. You know, I tell you what, buying stuff really does not make you happy. You may think it makes you happy, but in reality, it doesn't. How do I know? Because I've been that. I figured that being happy meant that I was owning this or that. Did it make me happy? Well, I had fun for a day or two. But after the new wore off, I was no longer content, looking for something else to to take the place. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Now, the latter part of that verse there really doesn't have to do much with the problem of more. But the first part does. Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. When people are not content, bad things many times happens. Isn't it enough knowing that you belong to God? Isn't it enough knowing, as the latter part of the verse says, that he is our helper and that he will never leave us? That we should not fear what man may do to us? Isn't knowing that you belong to God enough? Knowing brings peace. Knowing brings understanding. Knowing that God will never leave you. He's our helper. Psalms chapter 54 and verse 4. Behold, God is mine helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. If we tend to forget that we belong to God and that God is our helper, then what happens? We try to find contentment in the things that we possess or the things that we can possess. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Are we content? How much do you value your standing in Christ? That's a serious question, isn't it? How much do you value your standing in Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How much do you value your standing in Christ? If we're in Christ, then there's no more condemnation. That should give us peace. It should give us understanding. It gives us hope. We put our hope in Christ and not in stuff. Are you content to simply be a brother in Christ? Matthew 23 and verse 8. But be ye not called rabbi or teacher, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Are you content to simply be a brother? We strive to better ourselves, but we should also strive to better one another. Shouldn't we? But if our heart is not content in Christ, and we're trying to find contentment in things, then we're not going to be able to help better someone else. Where contentment cannot be found. Contentment is found in Jesus Christ. Contentment is found in being a child of God. But where is contentment not found. First of all, it's not found in what's known as hedonism, if I pronounce that correctly. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Hedonism. It is literally the doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole chief goal in life. It is self-indulgence. It is pleasure is the highest good and the proper aim of human life. That's the type of people who simply believe that pleasure and happiness is the highest goal in life. Now, in that type of thinking, it's not finding pleasure and happiness in the Lord. It's finding pleasure in yourself and the things that you want to do and what brings you pleasure and happiness, regardless of anyone else. Then we find contentment cannot be found in intellectualism. This is simply the devotion to the exercise of intellect or to intellectual pursuits. Well, let's see what Solomon says about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increased knowledge increases sorrow. Now, I don't believe that Solomon here is talking about finding and learning knowledge and wisdom in God's word. But it's the pursuit of worldliness wisdom, worldly knowledge. Intellectualism, the devotion to the exercise of intellect or to intellectual pursuits. Intellect at the expense of emotions or anything else. When I was kind of researching this a little bit and found that it said that intellect at the expense of emotions. Now, there's some of you here that might remember the old Star Trek TV program, Mr. Spock. Total intellect with no emotion. Is that how we are to be? Are we to pursue intellect, worldly knowledge? Not by what Solomon talks about here. Because that type of knowledge and that type of wisdom increases sorrow. Is this all there is? And as I stated last week, is this all that I can be? Is there more that I need to learn? Is there more that I need to know? When we bypass emotion, then what happens? We don't have compassion. We don't have understanding. We don't have caring. And I would say, you don't have love. Because pure intellect takes over everything. Contentment cannot be found in materialism. And we talked about that earlier. But there are those who are all in for materialism. It's a preoccupation of material things rather than spiritual things. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Never satisfied, never content, the wanting of more and more and more. When you don't have more room in your house, you move it to your garage. When the garage gets full, you go to a storage place and you fill that up. And your garage is still full. All that stuff, I seen a cartoon on social media about this father standing with his adult son and said, just think, one of these days they're standing in front of this storage facility with all this stuff packed in there. Just imagine, son, one of these days, all of this is going to be yours. And I'm thinking about my son. When I die, all of my stuff, he's going to have to deal with. And Dorothy and I, we look at, and I'm trying to make this personal. I'm trying to make it to help us to understand the need not to be caught up in the myth of more. My Aunt Dottie and my Aunt Peggy were my biological mother's sisters, the only two family members of my mother that I have ever known in my entire life. Over the years before they both have passed away, they gave me all kinds of stuff that belonged to my grandmother, to my great-grandmother, to my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and on down the line. I've got a hutch over there that belonged to my great-grandparents that's well over 120 years old. My son don't want that. All the stuff that's in it, all the dishes and the silverware and everything that's in there that's been given to me by family. Nobody wants that stuff. But we keep it, don't we? Because for me, it has sentimental value. But to someone else, it's just worthless junk. I'm going to do my best that before I pass from this life, to get rid of some of this stuff. Simply because one day, if the Lord comes, even before I pass, or anyone here, it's all going to burn up anyway. What good is it going to be then? Materialism, a preoccupation of material things rather than spiritual. Take your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 6. Start reading verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve gold or God and mammon. Literally, that word is wealth, riches, money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these, a flower, a lily. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Materialism. Right there, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us not to worry about material things. God will provide. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to wake up one morning and find a pile of brand new clothes sitting over there in the corner of your bedroom waiting for you to put on. But God provides. Then we have ritualism. Literally, an excessive devotion to ritual. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Ready to learn. When we come to worship on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and come to Bible class on Wednesdays, we don't come because it is a ritual, do we? I hope not. We come to worship. We come ready to learn with an open heart and not meaningless repetition. It's always, you know, we've always heard it say, well, you know, it's always been done that way. You know, we always have three songs, then the preaching. Sunday evening always starts at 6 o'clock. Don't forget Wednesday, 7. Just think of how surprised I was when I come up here and found that y'all started church here at 4:30. And Leroy would probably tell you, I said, is that scriptural? Contentment is not found in pleasure or happiness. Hedonism. It's not found in intellectualism. It's not found in materialism. And it's not found in ritualism. You know, all these isms here give me a headache. Happiness is found. Contentment is found in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Solomon concluded his quest for contentment and the meaning of life by saying this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to leave you with that. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's not the more. It's keeping the commandments. It's living an obedient life. And I hope and I pray that we will learn from Solomon's folly and find contentment in the fact that we are the Lord's. We are His children. So don't be caught up in the myth of more, because materialism in this world is meaningless. The invitation is given. If you're here and need a prayer for whatever reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?